Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this latest, as on this 31st of August 2022, episode 845. This is your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn. Of course, we are just 8 days away from the start of the NFL season.
Let's go.
Let's get it. Yep. We basically hear, you see a lot of people, you see most of these teams getting down to their 53 man roster. A lot of quarterbacks are getting cut. I've noticed that, but just like yo, just bounce, leave. You're not gonna play. So, but, you know, you're taking up a spot. So you see that going on. Bills Rams next week. Super Bowl champion Rams host the Super Bowl favorite Buffalo Bills. And as always, to joining me, of course, is one Robert Sapp. Mr. Sapp, how you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, man, I'm getting excited. You know, the hell with this preseason. I haven't watched half a quarter of preseason. Yeah, I'm ready for the actual games to start, and I was very excited to preview these two divisions, because to me these are the two best divisions in football. These are the two most intriguing divisions in football. It's all types of star power with the quarterbacking, with the storylines and narratives and what have you. We're gonna kick off with the NFC West. Of course, team to beat. To me, I have the Los Angeles Rams as the team to beat. They, of course, are coming off a Super Bowl championship, 12-5 last year. They had a great run, of course, to get to the Super Bowl, won that excellent game, a great game against Cincinnati by the skin of their teeth. Won all their games at won three straight games to get to the Super Bowl, and of course, finished off and led by, of course, the second best player in football. No, it's just that. Aaron Donald, according to the players, the second best player in football, Aaron Donald, who we all know is the best player in football. And here's, you know, listen, despite the schedule and everything, the Rams added Allen Robinson. They lost, of course, Andrew Whitworth to retirement. You have Cam Akers on offense. Of course, you have Cooper Kupp, one of the best receivers in football. They added Bobby Wagner. They have 16 of 22 starters coming back. One of the NFL's best coaches. You look at their non-divisional schedule. They have Buffalo, host the Cowboys at Tampa Bay, at New Orleans, at Kansas City, host the Raiders, at Green Bay, host the Broncos, and at the Los Angeles Chargers. A brutal schedule. Just an absolute brutal schedule. And it should be. There's defending Super Bowl champions. They won a division last year. I have the best case scenario, 11-6, and going to a conference championship. Worst case, 9-8 in a wild card. I think they're going to make the playoffs. So, to me, what are your thoughts on the Rams going into this year?
Yeah. You know, they're locked and loaded. Like, all jokes aside, or all however I feel about my team, they're locked and loaded. They will be a worthy defending Super Bowl champion. You know, now and forever, it will be about the consistency of Matthew Stafford. I was trying to think, do I really have worries about that receiving core? Not really. And you know, the Rams offense is pretty much a known quantity at this point in time. So it's not like we're going to see anything earth shattering from them, but they will, of course, you would assume they would get better. I mean, they just get better. Being that it's Stafford's second year. So I don't see too much fall off there either. And that defense is stellar. It's just stellar. So, They're locked and loaded, and they're ready to go, and it will just be to your point about that schedule, the consistency that is going to be required will be significant. You said 11-6. That sounds really right to me. And worst case scenario is, worst case scenario, they're second in their division, and they just have the long road to go to Super Bowl and can't maintain that over a period of time.
Yeah. Listen, they're definitely Super Bowl contenders. I don't think they're going to repeat. I think in 2022, in this age, it's just too hard to repeat. Parity, injuries, things of that nature with scheduling. It's just too many things have to break for you to repeat. I think they're a very talented team. They're not a dominant team. Like, you know, we look at their playoff run last year. They easily could have lost three of those games. Or they could have lost to Tampa Bay. They could have lost to San Francisco. And they, of course, easily could have lost the Super Bowl. So they deserve to win. And I think the right team won last year from that standpoint. But I don't see a repeat. I do think if you're a Rams fan, that you don't worry too much about the regular season from a standpoint. I would be like, just get me in the playoffs. You know how to win. They know how to win. They have a great culture, excellent coaching, and what have you. I just want to get to the playoffs relatively healthy, and I'll take my chances against anybody in the NFC. As far as the bridesmaids, I have the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know a lot of people are high on San Francisco. I'm not quite there. Arizona last year, of course, was 11-6, lost in the wild card, got embarrassed in the wild card to the Rams, 34-11. They lose Chandler Jones, Christian Kirk, Hopkins, of course, is suspended for the first six games. You add Marquise Brown from Baltimore. You return A.J. Green, Zach Ertz. Defensively, Buda Baker, you know, Isaiah Simmons, Marcus Golden are very good. The question is, you know, with their defense, can they stand up against the run? Looking at their schedule, they host Kansas City. They are at Oakland. Excuse me, Vegas, at Minnesota, host the Chargers, host New England, at Denver, and host Tampa Bay. Again, my question is, what to expect? What do you expect from Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury? Cliff Kingsbury as a coach, they have fallen off just dramatically in the second half of seasons over the past couple years. I don't think it's a coincidence. I have them best case 10-7, wild card, worst case 8-9, missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Arizona, and I think I said this before, but if I haven't, I'm not sold on them. Bernard Hopkins being gone those first six games is a really big deal. Until proven otherwise, I need to see their offense be effective without him. And to your point, the defense is flashy. They can flash, but consistency against certain elements of offenses, it has been an issue. So I'm more on that 8-9 side. I think San Francisco will end up being more consistent.
Got you.
When I first looked at it, I was like, Aaron, and then as I thought about it more, I'm like, I see Arizona as third in the division. A top third, but third.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Like, you could flip-flop those.
I got to see them be effective. Like, you tell me they're going to be effective without Bernard Hopkins, then I lean way more your way. I got to see it.
Yeah. No, so I totally get it. I totally understand it. We'll get to San Francisco. That was a brutal playoff loss, even though they, you know, were coming off of years where they weren't making the playoffs and where they had not been a good franchise. That I can understand how that could stick in someone's craw watching how they were taking apart Kyler Murray's performance, Hopkins out for six games, questions about the coaching and what's going on there, just and some of the stuff that happened in the offseason, even with the Kyler Murray contract, which, you know, some quirky stuff with that. So you can flip flop them. I will just take the fact that Kyler Murray is just much better player than Trey Lance at this standpoint. At this point, I don't know what to expect out of Trey Lance. We'll get to that, but if San Francisco finished ahead of them, none of us would be surprised by that. The 50-50 team that had the 49ers, they of course last year had a great run to get to the conference championship, nearly got to the Super Bowl. They were 10-7, lost in conference championship, played their way into the playoffs. They recently, of course, signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a one-year deal for next year. They lost three starters, K'Wan Williams, DJ Jones, and Lakin Tomlinson. Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback. They lose Mike McDaniel to Miami, of course. They still have Kittle and Samuel, who are top players. Elijah Mitchell, the running back, is a very good player. Brandon Aiyuka is a good, excellent receiver. They have one of the best front sevens in football. Bosa, Warner and company. That defense is absolutely loaded. They improved the back end with some draft picks in terms of the secondary. I have them going. Where did I have them? Okay, so I had them best case 9-8 wild card, worst case 7-10 missing playoffs. So it's a pretty big gap from that standpoint. It sounds like you like them more than I do. Hold on, let me get the schedule real quick. Non-divisional games at Denver, home to Kansas City, home to the Chargers, home to New Orleans, home to Miami, home to Tampa, at Vegas. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think when we talked about this with the Rams during that championship run, I think I didn't have anybody. I don't think I had anybody else come out of this division. I don't think so. So I want to make it clear, I don't love the Niners, but the Jimmy G signing did change my mind a little bit in that order on, because I remember, like, when it was just Trey Lance, I was like, yeah, the Niners are third in this division. But Jimmy G does change it, because do I believe Trey Lance will be in there all year long? No, I don't. Do I believe his hook is very short? Yes, I do. And do I believe they'll be fine putting Jimmy G in there for the purposes of what we're talking about right now, which is making the playoffs? Yes, I do. So I just trust what the 49ers have built more than what I trust Arizona's built. So however it is, that 10-7, 9-8, that sounds right to me. Does that get them into the playoffs? Maybe. Do I have big time confidence in either San Francisco or Arizona? No. Just a little bit more San Francisco.
So we finally get to the team that should be just looking at 2023. Yeah. The Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, of course, was 7-10 last year. Of course, they lost, traded Russell Wilson to Denver. Pete Carroll and John Schneider remain with the team. Geno Smith was named the starter. Drew Locke is the backup. You still have excellent players on the outside with Metcalf and Lockett. Rashad Penny is excellent running back. Jamal Adams leads the defense, but not much else. Schedule-wise, at New Orleans, at the Chargers, home to the Bucks, at the Chiefs, really, that, you know, tough non-divisional schedule, but it frankly will not matter. Best case, I had 6-11, which might be too high. Worst case, 4-13.
Yeah. 4-13 and probably lower than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I don't see them get a game in that division. And I don't see them beating any of those teams outside of New Orleans, maybe, that you named. So what's that right there? That's 11 losses right there, 10 losses right there. So, yeah, just no high hopes at all for Seattle. They should be playing for a number one draft pick.
No question about it. There's just not much there with the talent. And again, I just think that the Johns, and I've said this over the course of last season, I think that the John Snyder, Pete Carroll era should be over. Like, I genuinely believe that it was time for that franchise to move on from that era and really start over again, start fresh. But, you know, they had those guys have a lot of equity in terms of what they've done for the franchise. But at some point, it's just, you know, it's time to move on. But it won't matter. They're going to finish last in that division and be one of the worst teams in the NFC or in that conversation. So we shift to.
Nobody going after this year, don't you worry.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, no, it's not without question. We shift to the AFC West. I think, without question, the best division in football. Like, this is what there's no 2023 team in this division. I had the team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs last year, of course, were 12-5, lost in the conference championship, 6 straight division titles, 4 straight conference championship appearances. They have the 3rd best Super Bowl odds behind Buffalo. In Tampa Bay, excuse me, they lost, of course, Tyreek Hill, traded him, add Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They still have Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, top 5 offensive line, and a quarterback by, you know, the name of Patrick Mahomes, of course. Question for them, can they generate a consistent pass rush? They added George Karlaftis, decent player, lost 2 starters in the secondary. Big losses, the Honey Badger, and of course, Shavarius Ward drafted really heavy, did some heavy drafting in terms of the secondary. Look at their schedule at Arizona, at Indianapolis, at Tampa Bay, home to Vegas, home to Buffalo, at San Francisco, home to the Titans, at the Chargers. Well, no, I shouldn't say at the chart. That's in conference, in schedule. So let's just say non-divisional. At Arizona, at Indy, at Tampa Bay, Buffalo, at San Francisco, at Tennessee, and also at Los Angeles, at the Rams. Best case, I had them 11-6 conference championship. Worst case, 10-6 and making a wild card. I don't see a situation where they don't make the playoffs. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs as they try to get back to the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs are the standard. They're just there to stand. And so, in order to do anything you want to do, you have to go through the Chiefs. Now, what that does mean for them is that everybody in their division is gunning for them in the biggest way. So they're going to get everybody's A-plus game. They're just going to get everybody's A-plus game. They're used to it, and so it's just more, and their division is tougher. And so I do not think they can repeat that record this year. So what'd you say, 11-6? That feels about right, which then puts them in a more vulnerable position in the playoffs. And so I agree with you. I think I smell a divisional round loss for the Chiefs this year. But they do make the playoffs. Absolutely.
For the bridesmaids, I have the LA Chargers. They were 9-8 last year. They just missed the playoffs on, of course, that wild game against the Raiders. They have the 6 best Super Bowl odds, top 5 offensive line, top 5 offense from last year, bottom half in terms of defensively. Of course, the heat is on Brandon Staley to do something with this loaded roster. You have Justin Herbert, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. They are loaded offensively with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Eckler. You add Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, of course, we know how good the offensive line is. Very top secondary. Derwin James Jr. And Williams and J.C. Jackson, of course. Joey Bosa is developed to a top pass rusher. Looking at their schedule, at Cleveland, at San Francisco, at Arizona, home to Miami, home to the Titans, at Indianapolis, home to the Rams. I had them best case 12-5, divisional round, worst case 10-7 wild card. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
So at this point, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I have no clue. I think, like, as you were talking, I was trying to think about out of the three teams remaining, who do I trust more? And so this is not going to answer the question directly right now. I'm processing kind of real time. I think I'm just going to have to put Denver last just because I don't know what it looks like. Not because I don't think it's going to be good. And I'm not so very, very intrigued by them. So then it becomes, who do I trust between the Raiders and the Chargers? I mean, I love Justin Herbert. I love Justin Herbert. And I think the only deciding factor in this is that I want Sean Payton to be their coach, because I love that for them. So I say that to say, it's hard to pick. Yeah. I love the Chargers. I do. And I think Herbert is ready to take that next leap. I think it was a bad taste in their mouth losing to the Raiders in the last game, not making the playoffs. I agree with you. They absolutely do make the playoffs. I'm talking myself into the Chargers. And so without really analyzing the schedule like that, 10-7, 11-6 sounds about right. And they'll be battling out for the Chiefs for that top spot in the division.
This is a legit top three, top five NFL roster. Like, from they really don't have.
I like the Chargers.
They don't have any visible weaknesses.
They are.
They have. So it's not even about the talent. It's just going to be about Brandon Staley to me. Like, what his evolution, his development as a coach. The talent, I would put their roster against any roster in the league, to be honest with you. And feel good about it.
I really like the Chargers. I do.
They're going to make the playoffs. Question is, again, can they? The Chargers. The Chargers have had last 15, 20 years of just losing a bunch of close games, and that time that seeps into your culture. So can they shift that culture of losing all these close games? As good as Philip Rivers is, he's not Justin Herbert. So that you have the quarterback that can really has a chance to be one of the best quarterbacks in this league and a generational talent. So that's the best thing that you can say about the Chargers in terms of the reason why if you feel like they can shift and completely change their what their recent history has been. 50-50 team, the Denver Broncos last year, they were 7-10, lost a few close games. This year, of course, they have a new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. They have the eighth best Super Bowl odds. They brought in, of course, Russell Wilson, one of the winningest quarterbacks in the last decade. They've had 11 starting quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired. Great skill position players, Sutton, Judy, Melvin Gordon. You talk about they tried to upgrade the offensive line with Javonte Williams and Billy Turner. With Billy Turner, Javonte Williams is a running back. They had one of the best running back duos in the league, Williams and Gordon. Top 10 defense last year, third in points allowed. Add Randy Gregory. Look at their schedule, non-divisional. 49ers host. They host 49ers, host Indianapolis, at Baltimore, host Arizona. Best case, 10-7, wild card. Worst, 9-8, missing the playoffs. They're going to be one of these teams that's going to be in a bunch of games over the course of the season. They're going to play some wild games. What are your thoughts on the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, it kind of crystallized in my mind as you were talking. I forgot about my measuring stick. My measuring stick is what teams concern me versus the Bills. And Chiefs problem, Patrick Mahomes problem. That goes without saying. And then I was thinking, I do not want to see the Chargers in the playoffs. That stresses me out thinking about that. Then when I think about these two teams, doesn't stress me out. And I think in both cases, it's going to be how quickly it comes together. And because there are a lot of new pieces in prominent positions And in Denver's case, it's the most prominent position where they have the newest piece. And so, but Russell Wilson's a winner. He knows how to win. I have to default them even behind the Raiders because I just don't know what it looks like yet. No one knows what it looks like, honestly, in live gameplay. And so until we see it on a consistent level, I'll just have to be forced to reevaluate it then. But as of right now, I'm going to say my level of concern for them against the Bills will be very minimal. And because I just don't know what it's going to look like, I can't even put them over the Raiders. So I'm going to go with the lower end of that. Would you say 7-9?
Worst case, I had them 9-8.
9-8, yeah.
And missing the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I might flip that to 8-9.
Gotcha. Yeah, Denver's going to be a fascinating team. Again, I'm looking at their roster, like very good roster. I don't think they have a lot of holes, which kind of, they really don't have a lot of visible holes, to be honest with you. So they're going to be a very interesting team. They're going to be, obviously a pain in the ass to deal with over the course of the season. Get to the Raiders as the other 50-50 team. Of course, you could easily flip both either one of these teams. This is not a disrespect to the Braves, of course. Lost to Cincinnati in a wild card game, which didn't get talked about a lot as a game that they actually, really could have won. There were so many wild games in the playoffs, so it kind of got lost in the shuffle.
They didn't forget about it.
They sure didn't forget. They surely didn't forget about it. No, not at all. 16th best Super Bowl odds. They're over and under. Despite that, the over and under is still 10. Is 10.5.
I actually would like to take some money on this. I didn't know they were 16.
Yeah, 16. That's you're a bad man. That's
right there.
That's not bad at all. Not at all. New general manager, new head coach, McDaniels, Dave Ziegler. They add, of course, the trade to get to Devontae Adams and the Packers. We know Devontae Adams is pound for pound probably the best receiver in football. Chandler Jones, they add him as well. They have a just phenomenal offense. And you talk about Devontae Adams, Waller, Renfro, Josh Jacobs, even without, Henry Ruggs, who we will not see anytime soon. They still have a top flight offense. We know the quarterback is a Pro Bowl caliber player, very good player. Now defensively, of course, is where you'll have question marks with Crosby. Of course, is a tremendous player. Chandler Jones will help out a lot. Looking at their schedule: home to Arizona, at Tennessee, at New Orleans, home to Indianapolis, at the Rams, home.
They added in defensive backfield too.
What'd you say?
I said they added in the defensive backfield too.
Yes, yes. No, they did. They did definitely upgrade that as well. Home to New England, home to the 49ers. I had them best case 10-7, worst case 9-8, just missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I lean more towards the 10-7. Everything you said was accurate, and then they added onto their defense as well. But the defensive players, because they got the Joseph, the boy from New England. Jonathan Joseph?
Yeah, I think right?
So anyways, they added Pro Bowl caliber defensive back as well as the top flight defensive end. So they think they're very close. Along with Devontae Adams on offense. They're stacked and they're ready to go. It's just how quickly it comes together and how honestly, how everybody's coaching compares to Reed's. Because Kansas City has the best coach in the division. So, that's best coach, best quarterback. I lived that life for a long, long time. So, that's a powerful combination to get over. So those are the Raiders' flaws, just how soon things can come together for them, in all cases, none of us can predict injuries, so we're taking injuries off the table. They have an excellent team. They have an excellent team.
What?
It's how close does it? How soon does it come together?
So, what are your thoughts on this division overall? Like, what do you expect?
Bloodbath.
Right.
Bloodbath. Just absolutely.
How many? So you said you think minimum two. Three. You said three teams make the playoffs.
Three coming out. Yeah, okay. Three. Okay. Come out here.
So Buffalo, let's say Buffalo, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
No, I have, see, me and you, when we talked about Cincinnati, I actually had Cincinnati falling further than you.
Right.
And so I have three come out this division.
So seven playoff teams. I think
division winners, yep. And then two come from the there's seven. That's right. Seven can make it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how Cincy gets in. That's right.
Yep. Yeah, this is going to be a must-see division. I'm going to be glued to this division from the start. I just think all the games are going to be just ridiculous. I love this, just the overall talent.
Because all these teams in the division believe they can go to the Super Bowl. You don't make moves and do the things you did if Denver believes it's a Russell Wilson away from the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's simple. Who the can't we didn't even talk about did we talk about Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa?
Yeah, we did. No, we did. Yeah, no, we did.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, and Raiders. Like, you just don't make these moves if you're like, nah, we're the Super Bowl. Nah. Like I said to you way early on, I was like, Denver set off the arms race because everybody else said, nope, you're not skipping this line. We were next. No. And so everybody armed up. So that's what's going to make this such an amazing year. All four of these teams believe they can win the Super Bowl. Legitimately believe it.
Yeah, that's what our question. Plus, we talked about the chip on your shoulder. You look at each one of these teams. Kansas City coming off a bad loss to the conference championship. You look at the history of the Chargers. Hey, you know, everybody said calling them losers. You look at Russell Wilson. People saying he's falling. You know, some people saying that he's falling off, not the same player. And of course, the Raiders, of course, pissed off by how they lost. So all these teams come in with just ridiculous motivation to even more so than normal. I know they're professional players. They're guys are going to be motivated. But you look at this division as a whole, all those teams are going to have a chip on their shoulder. Like a bit, and a big one at that. So definitely looking forward to those two divisions. We are going to get to shift gears and get to questions for SAP. Now, we're going to roll out a segment during the regular season, and I'll just give it to you right now, stock up and stock down. But Robert Sapp, what NFL team that is under the radar stock that you're buying right now?
I think the Indianapolis Colts are a team that stressed me out when I think about them. All they need is solid quarterback play. That running game is significant. It's significant. And they play very good defense. And as we know, that offensive line is a beast. That's the team that I think, because we're not, everybody's unclear how much Matt Ryan has left in the tank, deservedly so, and the fact that they switch quarterbacks all the time, all those are valid concerns, and that's why they're under the radar, but all they need is consistent quarterback play. And that team is just dangerous all the time.
They're a very scary team because they can, from in terms of at the point of attack, they can match up with anybody. Like, they really can. Like you said, the running game, the defensive line.
They're very physical.
No one's, you're not going to push them around. It's not going to happen. And they're built for the postseason. Their game can travel. Like they
and because
like,
always with the running game as well, that defense is just well rested.
Yes.
There's yep. the same shit in Tennessee. It's what they can always pull off. They can just always pull off amazing feats with that defense in the fourth quarter because they just are more rested than your defense. They've just been on the field less.
What is your number one storyline going into this season?
It's the Buffalo Bills. It's only the Buffalo Bills. I mean, like, that's just facts. Look at the schedule.
Yep.
Look at where we're positioned. That's just facts. It is, can Josh Allen overtake Patrick Mahomes as being the best quarterback in the NFL? You know, all of the things that will stress me out and make me a crazy person are all the things that have the potential for this season to be for the Bills to be the top storyline. You know, who's the number one and two teams? Vegas wise, who got odds to win the Super Bowl?
Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
Who's on the other side of Buffalo? Who's their quarterback?
You know, Tom Brady. Yeah, yep.
Have the Bills ever won a Super Bowl?
No, they have not.
Buffalo beats Tampa. Tom Brady. For their first Super Bowl win.
Wow.
Game, set, match.
Got you. Yep.
Now that makes me sick to my stomach to imagine that, but there you go.
That would be a perfect storybook ending. That'd be a perfect ending. Would be a perfect ending. What about all right, so we're gonna shift gears a bit. I have no problem with the number one storyline.
I'll also take Dallas for the second.
In terms of what? Like, come on, now. You told me you would take beating Dallas. Okay, I thought you were taking like as a storyline. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
I'll take plan B.
Yeah, beating Dallas and Super. Yeah, that I'm sure you would love that. Yeah, as you should.
I'm just talking about storyline wise. You know, Dallas is just Dallas.
Right.
And Dallas and Super Bowl and us drumming them. That's your number one storyline.
We're gonna shift gears a bit, get into a little bit of music. It's been a wonderful summer of hip hop. Especially this last month to 6 weeks. The JID album, Joey Badass, The Game, all those could be, you know, in the conversation for albums of the year. A lot of people like Denzel Curry's album. You know, of course, you had Kendrick earlier in the summer, the beginning of the summer, or a little before that. It's a great time for hip hop right now from that standpoint. Which made me think about, what is your criteria for an album of the year candidate? What are you looking for?
So our album you didn't say is Black Thought. And so Black Thought's album
is
album.
Absolutely.
And it's honestly not even close. But that's my personal opinion, and it would never ever be a popular one. And so my criteria, I feel like, is different from a lot of people's criteria because it's more about what it sonically sounds like and feels like, in terms of like the cadence of the, you know, the lyricist. And of course it has to be a great lyricist. I'm not playing those games or anything else. So it has to be a top lyricist. And so then it becomes about sonically how it sounds. And the one thing that I loved about what I heard with the Black Thought and Danger Mouse album is not for one single solitary second did it sound like Danger Mouse, the producer, sent Black Thought a beat and Black Thought just rhymed over it separately. They got into the lab together and created an entire album. And so my criteria would be that it needs to sonically meld, and not sound any part separate.
So right now, I think I have JID, as the best album I've heard this year. And of course, it's very close. I'm listening to this album, went through it, especially really went into it last weekend. And it checks off all the just boxes. You're talking about no, I'm not skipping any songs. It's pure hip hop. Like it goes beyond that. It is absolutely pure hip hop to me. The features is on point. And one of my criteria for album of the year is what tracks or am I constantly going to over and over again, even if I don't listen to that whole album over and over again. And it has at least 3 to 5 tracks that I will constantly go to playing again and again and again and again and standing the test of time. Like, it's been out for a couple of weeks now. You know, certain albums you listen to for, a short amount of time, you're like, all right, it's cool. Even very good albums. But an album of the year, you can go through that. You can always go back to it. And at least I'll go hard for it, for like a month in my book. So that's my kind of criteria for an album of the year. You have to have multiple tracks that I'm willing to go back to over and over again, and at least a minimum of a month to where I'm constantly listening to it, despite other albums coming out. Again, been a great summer for hip hop. It really has been, and nonstop. So, and really something for everybody, like different styles of hip hop, to be honest with you. So, the album of the year race is wide open. There'll be a few months left in the year. Maybe Nas comes out, another King's Disease. But right now it's been a great summer in particular, for hip hop. Biggest disappointment, I had 2 people sharing this, and folks, this is not aimed at Russell Westbrook. It just so happened some comments were made about him that just kind of tweaked me a lot. So I had the Lakers just this whole, and really I could put the Lakers as the biggest disappointment of summer. The Lakers have gotten to a point to me where they are just a train wreck. A complete train wreck, shit show. And this is like, it's, think about this, folks, right? People, from 2010 up until now, it's 2022, right? They've won 2 championships, okay? They've only been, in that same time period, they've only been a handful of franchises that have won more championships during that same time period. Golden State has 4, Miami has 2, and that's about it. But despite that, they've been so bad and so poorly run. It doesn't, those champions, that 2020 championship, yeah, it counts, but it just, I haven't been able to even enjoy it because it's always about something that is not pertinent to basketball with the Lakers. It's like you want your franchise in 2022, sports-wise, to be, I think, quiet and steady. The Lakers are loud and wrong. And that's where, it's just more style than anything, or more, it's just, constantly, chatter about, Lakers is, yeah, they're relevant. They're as relevant as they've ever been. If people talk about them, but that's not equating to how the direction of the franchise. And then, there's a Sam Amick article in Athletic. I would encourage anybody to check it out. It's very well written by Sam Amick. He does good stuff with the Athletic in terms of the Lakers. And you have Jeannie Buss saying that Westbrook, first of all, she said that Westbrook last year was their best player. Okay. Which anybody with 2 eyes would look at that and be like, that's just insanity. Amick gave her an opportunity to walk it back after the article or after the interview. Was like, hey, you sure did Am I like? Are you sure you want to? Is this sure you? Are you sure you want to say this? Are you? Is this what you sticking with? And then she was like, "Well, I guess I could say that he's been the most consistent. That he was the most consistent because he played in 78 games. LeBron played in 59. AD played in what? Whatever 40." Even with that being said, that's still insane. That's still an insane statement. But that is where the Lakers are at right now. I remember when people used to just destroy Jim Buss to pieces, and rightfully so. But I don't. Has Jeannie Buss been that much better? Like, I mean, I know they got the championship in 2020, so you have to automatically say yes from that standpoint. But it is, again, they are right now, they are one of the worst one franchises in the league. What are your thoughts on the Lakers situation right now?
That's your squad, real. You just gotta, that's your squad. That's your squad. You know, I laugh at the Lakers.
Oh, you love it. Oh, no, I know you love it.
So I laugh at them. And so.
And you love this too. You love this.
That the Lakers mean so little to anything. And that's the best part. So, sure. All this tracks because, as you said, that's been your franchise. And so, yeah, deal with it. That's them. That's who you are. And who you will be for a very, very long time.
No question. I mean, no. Yeah. There's no two ways about it. I was going to get on John Gruden, but you, before we got on the podcast, even before I even got home, you had a little gripe to pick with the NFL players in terms of their top 100 rankings. What, you want to get some thoughts of that?
No, I mean, I said everything that I was saying on the text chain.
Right.
You know, it was more like in the moment of what it was that I was looking at, and you know, that didn't make sense. But it's not, the show itself is not worth getting mad at. So yeah, I'm kind of over that.
Let me read you a John Gruden quote. Of course, anybody doesn't know, John Gruden once back in the NFL. Here's the quote. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. He said, it's shameful, but I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I've got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody here has it. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I'll get another shot. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, BS.
Can you just go away? Like, and again, dude, you... Yeah, of course, we know it's bullshit, but it's like, bro, if somebody tells me I'm a good person, my antennas immediately go, are you? Like, it is like, just go away. Like, I don't, you have a ton of money from Monday Night Football and from the Raiders, which they were stupidly decided to give you, but whatever. I don't need to be here. I don't need to hear from John Gruden ever. Like, I don't want to just getting on your hands and knees and pleading for a job and blah, blah. No, I'm sorry. I did not need to hear that in my sports world when I saw this article, and it was like, what are we doing here? If somebody gives you a job, cool, that'll be their you know that'll be their franchise's ass. But to sit up here and just make it seem like it's almost like he was not so much a victim, but like, hey, you know, everybody deserves forgiveness and blah. Like, no, dude, you fucked up, said some dumb shit, deal with these consequences and be paid. By the way, it's not like your money is not, it didn't hurt your money. Like, it's embarrassing, but it didn't affect your money. So, like, I just need John Gruden just to shut the hell up. Just shut up. So that, you know, that was that. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by All Calculated Measures. Just got some new merch from, of course, Adrian McDonald. Adrian McDonald, shout out to him. Robert Sapp, we are, again, a week away from the do you have any winners of the week?
What'd you say?
Do you have any winners of the week? Anybody who won the week for you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
We're not back in the sports yet. I'm just going to say I got really excited when I started seeing the week one previews. I was like, okay, all right, we're back. We're back. This feels good. So, you know, there's, you know, once the season starts, this is going to be a million things to talk about.
No question about it. No question about it. Certainly looking forward to it. As always, thanks to one Robert Sapp for joining us. I will see you next time.
All right, sir. See you in a little bit.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. This is the Real Deal Podcast with Surreal Joel Quinn. Of course, join. This podcast will be up before the end of the night, certainly before tomorrow morning. Have a great, great rest of your evening. So long.